Well, dear brothers and sisters, please turn in the Word of God to the reading that we had earlier, the portion of scriptures from 1 Samuel chapter 15. That is 1 Samuel and chapter 15. And our thinking this evening will be taken from verse 22, midway through the chapter. It's 1 Samuel 15, 22. And I read the verse. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Well, our title for our thinking this evening is found in the second portion of that verse. To obey is better than sacrifice. Now, by way of context, as you will all no doubt know well, the children of Israel, in the time in which this was written, had grown dissatisfied with the Lord's ruling of them through the judges. They looked around them and saw the nations ruled by earthly kings, and they cried out for a leader like unto those godless nations. And as a punishment, the Lord had given them Saul, to be their first king. And as you will know, it didn't take too long for him to disobey unashamedly the Lord. Now, in the first part of the chapter before us, chapter 15, Saul had been instructed of the Lord to completely wipe out the Amalekites, and that included all their livestock as well. Now, of course, these were an age-old foe. When the children of Israel had exited Egypt in that great escape, the first nation or group of people to attack the Israelites were the Amalekites, and they'd ambushed them and had smitten them, the children of Israel, in the rear, when they were most tired, when they were at their weakest, in the weakest place as well. And since that point, they'd been a constant enemy of the children of Israel, with no repentance, and the Lord with great long-suffering and great forbearance. Well, he had not forgotten how his people had been mistreated. And so this was a just punishment of the Lord to wicked sinners. And Saul, through this current chapter before us, he oversaw the decisive defeat of those Amalekites. But in direct disobedience unto the command of God, had kept the spoil, had flown upon it for ungodly purposes. And Samuel confronts Saul in this chapter, as we read, who had been glorying in his victory. Verse 12, he had set up a place in Carmel, that is Saul. He had made a monument to himself for his victory, not unto the Lord, but unto himself. And so Samuel responds, "Even if you had done these things with the right intentions, Saul," we read verse 22, "hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Well, as we read earlier, Saul had many chances to repent and to return unto the Lord, but he was now to be rejected from the Lord, or of the Lord, from being king. Now, just a brief note on King Saul, his state, his spiritual state. He was most certainly not a true believer. He showed no signs of true conversion in the scriptures, just as we have before us. He never fully obeyed the command of the Lord. And this was a great characteristic of his life. And this ultimately, as we have read, led to his rejection as king. And until his death, there is no evidence of any repentance, any restoration, as we would expect a true believer who is backslidden to have experienced. There is even no evidence of godly living at all. and neither is there any positive mention of him in the New Testament, in contrast with other true saints of old. Well, with these things in mind, with this context summarized for us, how does this then, this sorry passage, apply to us? Well, there is much here for our challenge and our encouragement as well, because in these words from the Lord through the prophet Samuel unto Saul, we see the heart of God toward his people. We see what he delights in. We see the ways in which we ought to walk. And of course, as you will well know, God is unchanging in all his ways, and his word is fixed and sure. And indeed, all the scriptures we know from cover to cover are profitable for us in those different ways the scriptures present. And so we must also keep in mind that Saul, though an unregenerate man, he was, because he was even an unregenerate man, he was carnal and dominated by his sinful nature. But as the scriptures teach, we as believers also have the root of sin remaining. Though our old man has been crucified, it is crucified in its dominion, the scriptures teach. It still resides. We, as it were, have a little sore within our hearts. This was defeated again at conversion. It no longer has dominance, but if we are not careful, it can still rise up within us and regain a temporary assertion and rule of our lives, but only for a time. And so tonight we are considering what the Lord truly delights in. Heartfelt, genuine obedience and inclination towards him in all matters in our lives versus the cold formality, as seen in the most extreme of cases in Saul, external, face value, false religion with lukewarm, with empty, as it even, as it were, empty desire, devoid of heartfelt desire. So tonight we are considering the sacrifice of our lives, our very beings unto God, under three headings which are taken from verse 22. We'll be thinking about the purpose of our sacrifice, or the object of our sacrifice. We will be considering then, secondly, the peril of false, vain appearances. And then thirdly, the preference of genuine obedience. And so firstly, before we consider anything about ourselves, we see that the thing which we come to in the verse, in Samuel's response, is the Lord. Hath the Lord. Well, he comes first. And the word, as you all already know, no doubt, for Lord is capitalized. And this refers to, of course, Jehovah God. This is Yahweh in the original Hebrew, the personal, the covenant name of the Lord, first revealed by himself to Moses. It refers to his self-existence. He doesn't need anything outside of himself to exist or survive. He is completely independent. He exists because he exists. And all created things, including us as a human race, we are fully dependent upon him, not ourselves. Many wish today to think they are self-sufficient, but that is a falsehood. We are dependent upon him for all things, for sustenance, for health, for our very lives themselves. For as it is written, for in him we live, we move, and have our being. So God is perfectly satisfied and content in himself. He doesn't need us for anything. He doesn't need us to exist, certainly, but yet he has made us for his glory. He has made us to walk with him and to relate with him in a way in which the other things in creation, the other animals and other wonderful things that we see, cannot. And though fallen as a race, all true believers are restored unto this noble position through Christ. And indeed, what a privilege it is to be able to walk and commune with our great God with whom we have to do. And so stirring our minds to remember, firstly, how awesome and great our God is so fundamental. We must first step back from ourselves. We must not be self-centered, but rather be focused upon the Lord. And this adds such depth to our lives. this great purpose of our lives, which is to yield our members, our bodies, all for the Lord, for his glory. Well, I'm sure we know these things. Well, the purpose of our lives is this, but how easily we forget these things and grow cold. And so we must make time on a daily basis to come to the Word, to reflect on the Lord and upon his glorious character as revealed in the Scriptures. And this will be such a help to us as we seek to live for him. And we must also assess ourselves regularly. I'm sure you would agree. Asking who or what is the real object, the real purpose of the sacrifice of my life? For Saul, the answer to this question was himself. The purpose of his life was his own gain, his own status, was preserving his kingship, his own position. And again, this was an extreme situation. But to a degree, could the same be said of us, even? As believers, are we only living? Have we slipped into following material things? Living for these things, for ease and pleasure, for our own satisfaction, for our own status? Is self-service the very center of our lives? Or may it not be so, dear friends? Of course, it's not wrong to have time of relaxation and rest and enjoyment, but in moderation and in these things, we look to the Lord and give him the thanks for such blessings and keep him in the forefront of our minds. Nothing must supplant him in our lives. But these things must not become the reason for our lives as well, like those in this world who are just living for material things. We are no longer our own, and therefore we must guard ourselves against these wrong motivations and wrong purposes and desires, which would so easily creep in and cause us to stumble and to fall. We must regularly examine the state of our hearts, again remembering who God is, and that keeps us in our place. But this is also a real encouragement and a motivation to us as well in the exciting and stimulating matters of life, as well as the trivial and the menial. We do all things unto the Lord, not merely because maybe our family members desire us to do things at home, our parents or siblings or those close to us, not just because our seniors at work or colleagues ask us to do various things, or because our church leaders even have asked us to serve in certain ways or help out in various means. We must first remember that it is the Lord, ultimately, unto whom that we live. It is for his glory that we do these things. It isn't wrong to desire to please other people. That's a good thing in many ways. But the primary objective of our lives is to live unto the Lord and to please him. And also in this passage, more generally, we're reminded of the omniscience of the Lord. The one who sees and knows all things first informed Samuel of Saul's great disobedience. The Lord is not fooled by pretense. He is not fooled by facade, but he sees our hearts. He knows our very motives and desires more than we could ever. And so may we be challenged. This week will I remember that in all that I do, I am living before the Lord, the one who sees and knows all things, even when alone. We know it so well, don't we, dear brothers and sisters, but how we must remind ourselves of these things. Even when alone, God is watching me. In our private lives, amongst our family members, colleagues, amongst the believers with whom the Lord has united us in the local church, is our motive to genuinely please the Lord with all that we do. We also see in our text that our great God, self-existent, is also characterized by delight. Verse 22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices. Many today try to falsely portray God as being evil and vindictive in the Old Testament, but this is a completely wrong way to view things. Here we see the real heart of God, a God who is greatly pleased, who desires to delight in various things, even in this solemn reproof of Saul and this sad occasion. Here is the one who takes great delight in his people, who yield themselves unto him in obedience, desiring to live for him. And this is another great encouragement to spur us on in our Christian walk, that though we often fail and fall short, we have a gracious, a merciful, a long-suffering God who delights in our obedience. And so we've considered the focus, the core one to whom we offer our obedience. And secondly, we consider the peril of appearance, the danger of outward religion. Verse 22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, of course, as you know, the Lord had commanded the Israelites to offer various kinds of sacrifices in the Old Testament, including burnt offerings. And this was part of the ceremonial law. And it's clear here that he did take delight in those offerings, those ceremonies, and his people's observance of such things. But the real point here is the exterior face value sacrifices were not and are not desirable to the Lord, whether these things are done with emptiness and coldness of heart. And of course, we see that in Saul's claim. He said he had obeyed the Lord. How could he say that in such contrast to what he had actually done? Because the livestock that he had been commanded to fully destroy of the Amalekites here was supposedly reserved for the sacrifice of the Lord. And so the point Samuel was making under inspiration is, even if that desire to sacrifice unto the Lord was genuine, it was completely ruined and marred by Saul's initial disobedience, not wiping those things out as the Lord had commanded. So again, this was a very extreme situation. But we take the principle for ourselves in this second heading, the peril of appearance. We see the danger here of seeking to seem, to be perceived as doing the right thing, when in reality our hearts are not in the right place. And of course, since the coming of Christ, we are no longer bound by these ceremonies, which all pointed to him, to Christ, and they're all fulfilled in him perfectly. Yet as believers, we know, Romans 12, 1, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. But again, how easily we grow cold, and the fire in our hearts, the fire of our sacrifice, as it were, dims, and we can slip into formality. There is that great danger in our Christian walks, just paying lip service, just paying attention to external things only, which others can see, to please others perhaps, to not seem like the odd one out, to the visible sacrifices. We are all prone to these things, and we will fall short in various ways, so we must examine our hearts. Dear Saint, does this describe you this evening? You may be the model Christian at church, and yet maybe there is somebody here who behaves very differently in their private life, at home or outside of the church in other areas of life. Perhaps whose private devotions and meditations on the word have been reduced to moments each day, even become non-existent. Again, we are all prone to such things with the difficulties of life. But regular attendance to a sound church, and perhaps even our involvement in the service of the Lord, it doesn't give us the excuse to grow cold in other areas in our lives. And it certainly doesn't give us any license to slip into sin. Is this again you, dear brother or sister? If so, then beware. It may be that you are sliding, heading towards a greater fall that may be coming. Of course, we cannot lose our salvation. It is firm and fixed in the Lord. And the Lord, praise be unto him, as a father, will bring us back to himself when we go astray. But it will come so at a cost. It will happen with a cost, won't it? With chastening and discipline, and these things are painful, but ultimately for our own good. So woe to be ever the more sensitive to coldness and to dispel it. How? Of course, by looking to Christ and the things which are before us in the Word. To be clear, a strong sense of duty and commitment is a blessing and is wonderful and is to be encouraged and to thank the Lord for. And so sometimes we, when feeling cold at heart, we must take ourselves in hand. We might not have time to really stir ourselves, as it were. We must proceed with certain things out of duty, else things will not be done for the Lord. But in these moments, we can and must pray for the Lord's help with those emergency prayers. And he will draw near to us and warm our hearts if we are sincerely relying upon him. And so we have a duty to serve, but friends, brothers, sisters, why do so coldly when we can do so out of the overflow of our hearts? Is there anybody here as well who perhaps is in attendance and looks and sounds the part, yet isn't really engaged in service in the Lord's work here, only serving perhaps when convenient or when we feel like it? Have we slipped into face value living? And if we are serving diligently in the church, then are we tempted to feel bitter towards other people who may not seem to do as much as we do, and in so doing boost ourselves with in pride? And then, of course, we are close to a great fall. The Lord is not pleased with such things. Or perhaps do we say that we are lovers of the gospel? Do we yet still find ourselves unprepared, without ways to initiate spiritual conversation, or at least without having a tract to share, which we can discuss and that we know well, without even prayer for opportunity? Again, we can slip into these things if we are not careful. Perhaps we are engaged with the lost, with teaching children and young people, or witnessing in public. And this is a grand thing to do as part of our obedience unto the Lord. But are we just focusing on the external act of these things alone? Well, brothers, sisters, we must be interceding specifically for these lost souls and remembering those opportunities the Lord has given us on a daily basis, and doing so with great urgency and desire. And so these are just some examples of focusing on the external whilst forgetting the importance of the internal spiritual walk. We must be so careful to avoid the peril of focusing on the external only. And we must seek to be rid of false appearances of obedience. But thirdly, and more positively, we come to our final heading, the preference of obedience. The preference of obedience. And here we see the Lord's great delight is in sacrifice, which is committed from a heart of genuine obedience. Verse 22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Notice that this is our inclination here, which is being spoken of. And this must be to obey the Lord in whatever he would have us do. Our hearts must be in the right place with him. And this attitude in the text comes first. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifices. And also, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Obedience and our inclination and desire toward obedience, this must and should come first. And the Lord is greatly pleased when we are willingly offering ourselves as sacrifices to do whatever he would have of us, rather than us begrudgingly doing so and having to be persuaded to live for him. And this desire for true obedience is only possible because of the new heart which is given to us at conversion. And so this applies to all true believers. When we consider how much the Lord has done for us, our Saviour has done for us, provided our salvation, given us that new life from within, and the Spirit indwells as well how we must stir ourselves to greater commitment unto him and use our new hearts as they are, as it were, designed to obey him and to walk closely with him. To be clear, we are not saying that one must stop yielding their all for the Lord in various areas of their lives so that they can build up a certain level of spirituality first. No, brothers and sisters, we have that new heart from conversion, from the point of conversion. And so we are able to please the Lord in the various ways in our lives instantly. And again, if we have temporarily lost sight of this for whatever reason, then we can, no, indeed we must, fly back to the Lord in repentance and immediately we will have closeness with him through our Savior, who of course is interceding for us. We are not speaking of a long protracted process in which we are stirring ourselves up to some false idea of spirituality, but rather pointing to the reality that our hearts now desire to live and please, live for and please the Lord. Of course, we have a great duty to mortify the old man and keep the old nature, the flesh, at bay. And what exactly is it to be obeyed as part of our obedience? What exactly is it that brings the Lord great delight? Well, in our verse, it is obedience unto the voice of the Lord. It is his voice, and to hearken unto his voice. Now, of course, this does not refer to an audible voice from heaven. If we are perhaps misled by such things, then we must be very careful. These things are not from God if we think we hear voices from heaven. Rather, what we are talking about is the inspired, the completed, all-sufficient scriptures which we read and meditate upon. And this desire is given to us also when we are first saved. It is a grand sign of conversion that a babe in Christ desires nothing but the sincere milk of the word to feed upon, as well as to obey it in all their ways. And so this is a great comfort and encouragement to us, dear brothers and sisters, as we navigate our pilgrimage, which is fraught with spiritual and physical trials and difficulties. Some here this evening may be feeling overloaded, overwhelmed, maybe even worn out. And of course, we must be practical. We must take rest where it is due. We must look out for the need of others. Can we help out and alleviate a burden if possible? And carefully monitor our own workloads so that we are not unduly worn out for the Lord's work. But we remember that he who has given us the desire to obey him has also provided us with his word and a desire to be immersed in its truths. And so we must guard our personal devotional time at all cost. As Christ prayed to the Father in John 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we see the importance of coming to the word of God on a daily basis at a devotional level. Some here may be bearing heavy burdens. Maybe these things cannot be spoken of really to anybody else but the Lord. Perhaps a painful family or marital situation, maybe a bereavement or rebellious children, perhaps opposition, persecution even, from the ungodly. But we must remember that the Lord knows. And in obedience, in all matters in our lives, we must draw nigh to God. And in doing so, he will draw nigh to us. So daily communion with the Lord is so vital, and it will sustain us through all the difficulties and vicissitudes of life. And indeed, he is, through these things, proving us, testing our faith, refining us. And Job 23, verse 10 to 12 is of great encouragement for any who is going through heavy waters. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Here we see the attitude, the heart of a true believer going through the difficulties of life, which will be before all of us to various degrees. Our obedience must not waver unto the Lord. And this truth, that God is most pleased with obedience that is heartfelt, not outward formality, is most helpful for those who perhaps are unable to serve in ways that they may wish to, desire to. Perhaps due to ill health or frailty, there might be some other physical hindrance that does not allow them to serve physically as they once perhaps did or as they so desire to. Obedience isn't just physically doing something rigorous. So, dear saint, if the Lord in his providence has permitted a particular difficulty in your life, like these things, then you can and you will know the pleasure of the Lord as you sacrifice your life to him in the other ways in life, spending perhaps as much time in the Word as you can and interceding for many, perhaps even more so than others who are very busy with other things in the Lord's service and as they render all to him. Dear friend, in these difficulties, dear believer, you can be of such blessing and of such help to the local body through your intercession, through your even advice and godly wisdom. Is there anybody here who perhaps is discouraged as well? We live in days of such relatively small things, and perhaps we are not seeing the fruit which we so desire. Well, may we take note of the answers to prayer and thank the Lord for these things, no matter how small, how trivial these things seem to be. And also remember that the Lord is most pleased. He takes great pleasure with obedience, again, from that faithful heart full of love for him. So, dear brother, dear sister, may we press on with that great commendation of the Lord in mind that he will place upon our lives if we yield all to him. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Well, as we draw to conclusion, we remember that directly in connection to Saul's rank disobedience unto the Lord, another would be raised up. Of course, David, as you know, a man after God's own heart. For whilst man looketh on the outward appearance, the Lord looketh upon the heart. Of course, David, not perfect, but in many ways is a grand example to us of a life lived for the Lord. And of course, points to one far greater. Where Adam first failed in obedience to God, the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, was and is the perfect representative God-man, in whom the Father was well pleased. We have failed countless times, have we not? Once made new in the Saviour, our great prophet, priest and king, the offering of our lives can and will be pleasing to God because of his spotless righteousness in which we are clothed in. And this is why we have a great duty to render all to him and why the Lord takes great pleasure in this. But how we miss out on such blessing and such comfort in this life if our sacrifice, if it burns cold, if the flames grow small, how blessed it is to serve genuinely, joyfully, from an overflow of the heart, which is so stoked by a close walk with our Saviour. For as the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This is what really underpins genuine and true sacrifice unto the Lord, a close walk with Christ. So how we need to shun those external forms of obedience, supposed obedience, and remember that it is the self-existent, the Jehovah God, unto whom we render our all, and that he has great delight in our heartfelt obedience to his voice in all our ways. And we've considered the purpose of our sacrifice, the object. We've considered the peril of false appearances and also the preference, God's preference, to genuine obedience. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, how we need the Lord's help in these things. May this week be one of spiritual progress and developments as we seek to draw near unto the Lord in all our ways, and hourly even render our whole lives in every single area unto him. And may we know the blessing and joy that comes with true obedience to him. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Amen.